Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel we heard read to us just a moment ago. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. This is God's word. So you heard a lot of Bible readings tonight, very, very long Bible readings. The vigil service actually gives the option for as many as 12 Bible readings. Of course, a vigil is meant to keep watch through the night, and so historically, a vigil is more than just the hour, 15 minutes that we'll be here tonight. You guys are checking your watches. Yes, I'm going to preach very short tonight. But there's a purpose behind these readings. The chaos of creation, and yet God, through his word, bringing order to it. The waters of the flood that wash over the earth. The parting of the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh's armies within it. The heat of the fiery furnace. We see it repeated all throughout other stories we could hear. Daniel in the lion's den is another one often heard at the vigil. Jonah in the belly of the great fish. The Lord with his people, where there's death, where there's chaos, where there's corruption. How do we know where to find Jesus? As Christians, we know. But so much of the world doesn't. We look for Jesus by going where death is found. And that's why this night is so important for us to gather in worship, even though we're not accustomed to doing so. On Friday, we mark Jesus' death. On Sunday, we mark his resurrection. In between, of course, he lies in a tomb. And why is that so significant that our Lord Jesus lies in a tomb? Could it be that because a tomb awaits each of us as well? A point will come when each of us are lowered into a grave, are lowered into a resting place. We will go on that day where Jesus has gone before us. Recently, I was following the exploits of a Facebook friend, a fellow pastor, who just earlier this month took a trip to the Holy Land. All throughout Israel, he was in Jericho, he was in Nazareth, he was on the Mount of Olives, he was on the Temple Mount, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, all these places that we read about in the scriptures, and I followed along, fascinated as he went to these different places. And as he went to these places, he went where Jesus had gone before him. He showed the foundational stones at a threshold of a door of a synagogue. I forget what town it was in, but it was somewhere where Jesus is known to have preached. And he commented on his picture. It's nearly certain that Jesus' own feet walked in these paths at one point in history. Humbling, to be sure. And yet, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus are a reminder that we also walk where Jesus has already gone. He has died as we will die. He was buried as we will be buried. He rose as we will rise. Our story is Jesus' story. Jesus' story is our story. It's why on the night of the vigil, we always remember baptism. We heard once again the vows that are asked in baptism, the renouncing of the devil and his works and his ways, the confession of faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we heard that reading from Romans 6, where Paul says we are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into his death and resurrection. His story is our story. All these stories of God going with his people in the midst of death and destruction and chaos, it's our story as well. And that's why, I don't know, maybe next year we'll add more than just the four stories. Maybe I'm not selling this service real well if I threaten to add more stories, but they are worth hearing because they are our story. The Lord going with his people where death is found. And that, dear friends, in Jesus Christ is the wonderful message we have to carry to the world. The world that so much of which thinks this is nonsense, this is folly. You Christians are a bunch of goofballs and fools for coming into churches, not only on Easter morning, but by golly, the night before Easter morning. Why would you goofy Christians do such a thing? Because we realize that the Lord God is not just found where things are wonderful and glorious. We are not a people who think that in order to have God present in your life, you have to have it all together. You have to have everything going smoothly. But rather, our Lord comes to broken people, to hurting people, to dying people. He comes to you and me. He comes where death is found. So then, where should we be found? We know where to find Jesus. Where should the world find us? Wherever Jesus is. In his word, in the proclamation of his cross, and tonight on this Holy Saturday, waiting by his tomb, hearing his gospel, spoiling what everyone else who comes tomorrow, we already have it tonight. Alleluia is shouting forth. The church decorated in lilies, light and candles, celebration. Because the one who goes into a tomb, he doesn't stay there, does he? No. He rises again to new life so that you and I can rise again. He's found where death is found, where all the brokenness and hurt and sorrow of our lives is found, so that in him we can find life. Life that never ends. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.